Today's reading is 2 Peter 1, verses 12 to 21, which you can find at page 1222 of the Church Bible. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory, as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will be able to remember these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honour and glory from God the Father when the voice came from him, from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never has its origin in the human will, but prophets, through humans, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, James. And do keep a finger in that passage. We're going to come back to it in just a minute. Now, got a question. Who likes treasure hunts? Hands up if you like treasure hunts. Brilliant. I'm glad a few of you like treasure hunts. You know, they are great fun, treasure hunts, aren't they? You know, going on adventures, following clues, finding the treasure at the end. Now, what are some of the things that you think we'd need for a really good treasure hunt? Hands up, what are some of the things that we need for a really good treasure hunt? Eva? A map, exactly. You need a good map to know where the treasure is. Poppy? Treasure, you need some good treasure at the end of a treasure hunt, otherwise it's not worth doing. Jasmine? What was that? We needed even more treasure, exactly. A shovel, oh, that's very good. If it was buried treasure, you need a shovel to get the treasure up. All sorts of things that you need for a treasure hunt. But you know what? I agree with Eva. I think one of the most important things you need for a treasure hunt is a map. You need a good map. Now, I like maps. Anyone else like looking at maps and joy? Yes, good. A few other people like me. And a treasure map, well, that's particularly good, isn't it? Because as you follow the treasure map, you go on an adventure and you get treasure at the end of it. You get a reward. You get a prize. That's brilliant. Well, what has any of this talk of maps and treasure hunts got to do with what James has just read for us? Has it got anything to do with it? Is Peter just wandering off and talking about maps for no reason? Well, no. Because I think that life is a bit of an adventure, a bit like a treasure hunt. You know, when you go on the journey, you know, there are ups and downs, there are good bits, bad bits, happy bits, sad bits. But you know what? In order to make the most of this adventure, God gives us a map to help us through life, to help us on our way. And that map is the Bible. The Bible is full of histories and stories and poems and letters designed to show us how much God loves us and to help us, like a map, work our way through life the best way possible. And in the end, we see the greatest treasure ever. And that's a perfect life in a perfect world with Jesus forever. That's the treasure at the end of that life's treasure hunt. So the Bible is the best map ever for helping us through life. So we can't miss it. I'm going to stick it on John's music stand here. The Bible is the best map ever to help us through life. Okay. Now, to help us think a bit more about that ourselves, I've made a map. It's not a very exciting map, but it's a map of here. Okay? And I've hidden a few questions around the church that are going to help us as we go through our service think a bit more about how it is that the Bible is the best map ever for life. Okay, and I've hidden the first clue where that green star is. So can any of you work out on my map where that green star is and see if you can find the question that is hidden in and around there that we're going to help us through our first point. So, grown-ups, you might need to give a hand to the little ones so you can work out on the map where that first question is hidden. Oh, you might have to have a hunt. It's a piece of paper. Oh, yeah, you have to look high, look low, so you can find it. So you are very close. Melia is exceptionally close. Yay, brilliant, Melia, come on forward. Brilliant. Well done. Brilliant. So our first question to help us think about this is who's written it? Who's written it? Thank you, Melia. Go and sit yourself back down. Let me stick that up here. Our first question as we think about, can we trust the Bible as a good map through life, is who's written it? It's a really important question when we're trying to work out, is something good? Is something true? Can we trust it? Now, I hope most of you kind of know me and trust me, so you think, well, okay, Peter, it's not the best map ever, but we know you. We can trust you. And look, it worked. Melia was able to find the answer. But it's true for all sorts of things, isn't it? If we want to know if we can trust it, we think, who's written it? So, you know, if I was wanting to make a cake, I'd want to make sure I learned how to make a cake from someone who knows. So, you know, I'd go and ask Mary Berry for her cake recipe, read one of her books. Or if I wanted to tell a really good story with lovely pictures and a nice rhyming tale as it goes along, you know, I go and find out that one of Julia Donaldson's books, because we love The Gruffalo or The Snail and the Whale or Room on the Broom. They're great stories. And the thing is, if you want the best map ever through life, you go to God as the author, because God is the God who created everything, who created life itself. Now, if you've closed your Bibles, do just turn back to page 1222. And let's have a look at a few words from the Bible about the Bible. Okay? Now, I said it's God who's written the Bible, but God doesn't have hands like we do. Instead, he wrote the Bible using different people. And this bit of the Bible is written by Jesus' friend, Peter. And have a look down at verse 16, little number 16. Verse 16, little number 16. And there, Peter writes, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Okay, lots of long words in there. What's Peter saying? Well, he's saying that the words in the Bible, the message all about Jesus, is not just some clever story that people made up. It wasn't that one day Peter and Paul and Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and James, they all sat down for a little while and thought, I know what we'll do. We're going to make up a story about a guy called Jesus. He was born in a funny place called Bethlehem, lived a good life, did some miracles, died on the cross, came back to life. None of that. Nothing like that. No, they'd actually seen it all happen themselves. And then they wrote it down for us. God was working through them to make sure that we could know it was true so we can really trust it. There's even more. If we have a look at verse 20 and 21, little number 20, it says this: "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture," so that's any of the words of the Bible, "came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." You know, Peter is really clear there. The Bible is not just full of people's bright ideas or what they think about things. It didn't have its origins in human will. No, God used people, you know, the prophets and the apostles, to tell us what he wants us to know. Peter says that they spoke from God, that they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Later on in the Bible, Paul says that all the words in the Bible are God breathed. So when we open our Bibles and read them, we can actually hear the God of the whole universe speaking to us. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? The Bible is the best map ever to help us through life, because who's written it? God has. Okay. Another question hidden around the church. Let's see if someone else can find where our second question for today is hidden. Go. It's under the green star. So you can work out on my map where that is. Oh, it's not on the stage. It's not on the stage. Oh, well done. Bring it up to the front. Oh. Well done, me. Found it again. Well done. Brilliant. And this next question says, are there any mistakes? Are there any mistakes? That's another important question to work out. Can we trust the Bible as the best map ever for life? Are there any bits that are wrong? Now, I know that my map there is probably not perfect. You know, I was doing this off a few photos quite late one evening, so I'm sure there's lots of mistakes. It's not properly to scale and everything, but, you know, you can pretty much work out where things are. We've got 2 out of 2 on finding the questions. But if I showed you a map like this and said, this is the church, I think you'd rightly go, no, Peter, no, 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 we can't trust that. I know the church hasn't got a dinosaur enclosure, a swimming pool and a chocolate fountain. We couldn't trust a map like this because we know that's not true. That map is full of mistakes. I can't trust it. And do you know what? Some people think that the Bible is a bit like that map of the church with the dinosaur enclosure, the swimming pool and the chocolate fountain. Full of mistakes. That it doesn't get things right about science and history, and that it doesn't make any sense now. But have a listen to what Peter says in verse 19. Have a read with me again, little number 19. And it says this. We also have the prophetic message, so that's the words in the Bible, as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it. Okay? So Peter's writing this letter. He knows he's going to die pretty soon. And he's writing this letter to help some newish Christians keep going to believe the truth and not believe the false things that other people are saying. He's wanting them to know that the message that he was teaching, that the other apostles, people like Paul and James were teaching, that their letters and that the explanations of Jesus' life, as well as the things in the Old Testament that people like Moses and David had written long ago, that they were true. That these were the very words that God had given them, the truth. And these are what are kept for us in the Bible. So are there any mistakes? No, do you see? It said they're completely reliable. We can trust them. And why can we trust them? Well, the answer to question one, who's written it? God. God's perfect. He can't make mistakes. Now, there are some bits in the Bible that are hard to understand. Some bits that seem a bit confusing and make us scratch our heads when we read them. But that's why we need to do a bit of thinking, more and more, and as we try and understand them and see how they fit together like a jigsaw puzzle, how the bits before, the bits after help us make sense of the bits in the middle, we see that it does all fit together. It does all make sense. There aren't any mistakes in it. And all of them show us how amazing Jesus is and how we can live the best life ever. Peter really wanted his first readers to trust the Bible and know it was true. And so they keep following it as their best map ever for life. And he wants us to trust it too. So, are there any mistakes? No. Is the Bible completely reliable? Yes, because God, the author of the whole universe, has written it. One more question. One more question for us to find. Ooh. Who can find where that one is? Oh, have we got it there? Well done, Elliot. Well done. Come on down. Brilliant. Thank you, Eric. Fantastic. So our last question is a big, important question. Should we follow it? Should we follow it? Now, my map isn't that amazing if you follow my map or not. Yes, it was really helpful, otherwise it would have taken quite a long time to get through the service, waiting for you to find those questions. But we could have done it without you following the map. But it's not the same with the Bible. It really matters if we choose to follow what the Bible says. If the Bible, are we going to let it really be the best map ever for our life? Let's have a look at verse 19 once more, little number 19. And Peter says this: "We also have the prophetic message," remember that's the words in the Bible, "as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Okay, so did we notice Peter was using some picture language there of light and dark? And I'm sure we've all done it where we've woken up in the middle of the night and tried to get ourselves out of bed. It doesn't really work, does it? We start tripping over things, we stub our toe on the end of the bed, we trip over the toys that are left out. We can't do anything until we get the lights on. Suddenly when we put the lights on, it's easy, we can get out of bed then. But without it, without the lights, we are bumbling around, we're falling into things, we're making a bit of a mess. And the thing is, Peter's saying that life without the Bible is actually a bit like that. We're bumbling around, not really sure where we're going on this great adventure that life is. But when we read these words that show us Jesus, when we pay attention to them like Peter told us to, it's suddenly like the light gets switched on. The path or the map becomes clear. We start to understand what life is about. It's not necessarily an easy life, but we start to see where we're going. And we see that life is all about praising God, enjoying being friends with God. We get to start that now, and that will get to go on forever and ever. It's not an easy journey, but God is giving us the best map ever for life so we can live his way. This book that we've got in our laps in front of us is God speaking to us. So should we follow it? Yes. It's God speaking to us, and he's perfect. He doesn't make mistakes. And that's why in candles and lanterns and torches and beacons and families on Fridays and youth group and in life groups and in Sunday services, we open the Bible. We don't just think, what does Sam or Peter or whoever our life group leader is have to say today? And they're just making some ideas that we try and say. What's in the Bible? Because we want to hear God speaking to us, so we can learn more about him, and so we can learn from him the best way to live. The Bible really is the best map ever for life. You know, the great thing is we don't just have to be in church to do that. We can listen to God speaking to us wherever we are. All we have to do is open the Bible and listen with soft hearts and follow what he says. And to help us on our way, we've got some Bible reading notes out in the corridor through there as you go through for tea. Do take them. They're really helpful to help us work our way through this map, through this life. How we live really matters, and how we can help understand the Bible better. There's something there, whether we're old or young, whether we're new to the Bible or whether we've read it hundreds of times already, there's still more we can learn. It really is the best map ever. And lastly, just as we finish, it is great to read all sorts of books. It really is. But when we read the Bible, it's a special type of book. It's different to every other book we could possibly read. Why? Because the God of the whole universe is speaking to us through it. Other books are brilliant, but only God's word, the Bible, is important enough to change what we think and say and do and love. It's the only book that's worth being our map through all of life. Bit of a challenge for us, but will we let our lives be guided by God, his word, his way through life, rather than just what we think is best? So next time we open our Bibles, let's remember we're about to hear God speak to us. He's the author of every single word. He's the perfect author. He doesn't make any mistakes. And so, yes, we should trust and obey and follow him. The Bible truly is the best map ever through life. The challenge is, will we choose to trust and follow him? We're going to